Have you noticed that everything is falling apart? Religion broke first, I think. Had been broken for a while already, when widespread abuses by clergy became visible in public around about 2001. Institutions that had been considered hallmarks of integrity and trust were revealed to be a facade for the very worst of human behavior. Church attendance has been in decline ever since. Then the banks failed in 2007. Institutions we had trusted with our money were revealed to be greedy, duplicitous, not having our best interests at heart at all. The Occupy Wall Street movement took to the streets, raising awareness of the injustices of income inequality. Our healthcare systems have not been working well for some time. Even with some needed reforms in place, the United States spends far more on healthcare per person than any other westernized country. This would be great if Americans were subsequently the healthiest people, but we do not even make the top 10 list of healthiest countries. We have grown distrustful of hospitals and pharmaceutical companies, which often seem more interested in profits than in healing. Significant numbers of the population now question conventional medical findings and advice, refusing, for example, to vaccinate children. We've seen a return in recent years of diseases like polio and measles. Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, and the Black Lives Matter movement have dispelled our illusions that our justice system operates fairly and impartially. Social media and camera phones allow us to see, as many of us have never seen before, that police are not always upholders of the law. Many of us are now uncertain about calling the police in times of trouble. News media have been revealed to be sensationalists, needful of income, like other institutions, and willing, it seems, to write almost anything to keep us clicking and reading. More and more, many of us do not know if we can trust what we read, even from the most reputable of sources. In the business world, 2017 is being called the Great Retail Apocalypse, as hundreds of shops and malls across the country close. We're starting to see movies and movie theaters struggling. Arts venues and organizations have been struggling for a while. Restaurants seem to be doing okay. A glimmer of light. And then there's the government. According to the Pew Research Center, political polarization is the defining feature of early 21st century American politics, both among the public and elected officials. Partisanship has rendered the federal government less and less able to govern effectively. Ideological bubbles keep us not just disconnected from, but hostile to people with different values and ideas. And the backdrop to the failure of almost every significant institution we know is the environmental degradation that has led to climate change and global warming. This weekend in particular, devastating storms and hurricanes continue to batter areas of the country. Wildfires on the West Coast have been raging, and we are aware here of our own continual risk of fire. It is more and more visible to us what the future likely holds. Everything is falling apart. I'm sure we each have our own reactions to hearing it listed out this way. Some of you may see things differently than I do. Some of you may be well aware of all the different layers that are disintegrating. Some of you may feel panicked. Some of you may feel blasé. But I think most of us don't hold that big picture all the time. It's hard, right? We get up, we go about our day, we've got things to do. But we're living through a transition similar to the Industrial Revolution or the invention of the printing press, and we are swimming in a soup of anxiety and fear. Our whole culture is. For many of us, our alarm has been more pronounced since November, but the truth is, things have been falling apart for a while, for the past 20 years or so, at least. Every institution we trusted, religion, banks, justice, healthcare, journalism, government, every institution has proven worthy of distrust. Everything is falling apart. Each year I select a book or a topic for us to delve into. We call it our spirit study topic. And this year's topic comes from a book called Active Hope: How to Face the Mess We're In Without Going Crazy by Chris Johnston and Joanna Macy. Macy is an environmental activist, and the book was written in 2012. With a significant focus on the mess of climate change. So my sermons this year, as we go through the book together, will focus on updating and translating a bit for the even bigger mess we're in now than we were 5 years ago when she wrote the book. Macy describes three possible stories that we use to understand what's happening in the world around us. And as I describe them, know that it's not that any one story is the right story or the true story and other story is wrong. All three stories are happening. The question for us is, where will we devote our energy? Where will we focus? So the first story is called Business as Usual. We know this story. Macy writes, "The defining assumption of the business as usual story is that there is little need to change the way we live. Economic growth is regarded as essential for prosperity, and the central plot of that story is about getting ahead. I've lived in the business as usual story for a lot of my life. It's the dominant story in our culture. It's an easy story to fall into. At this point, it's a soothing story. I wish I believed it. It's familiar. We may not all connect to the idea of getting ahead. Part of what brings us here on Sunday mornings is that we have values that are not just about getting ahead. But most of us have to spend a certain amount of our time and energy, whether we're retired or working, making sure we have sufficient resources for ourselves. Housing, food, transportation, and access to luxuries that contribute to our comfort. All of that is part of the business as usual story. In fact, I think part of what we saw in the presidential election is that many people felt that business as usual was broken, that they weren't able to get ahead when they should. The slogan, "Make America Great Again," is a yearning for the business as usual story to be true and to be fixable. The second story Joanna Macy talks about is what she calls the Great Unraveling. The Great Unraveling, she writes, draws attention to the disasters that business as usual is taking us toward, as well as those it has already brought about. It is an account, backed by evidence, of the collapse of ecological and social systems, the disturbance of the climate, the depletion of resources, and the mass extinction of species. The Great Unraveling is the story that's overwhelming to contemplate, not soothing at all. It's the story I started the sermon with. Everything is falling apart. To fully immerse ourselves in these realities is to contemplate that perhaps things have gone too far already. Perhaps we have crossed a point of no return. Macy writes, by itself, the great unraveling can seem like a horror story that overwhelms and defeats, paralyzing us. But there's a third story, one Macy calls the great turning. This is the story for those of us who see that the first story, business as usual, has led us to catastrophe, and that the second story, the great unraveling, is not the end. Macy writes, involving the emergence of new and creative human responses, the great turning is about the epochal transition from an industrial society committed to economic growth to a life-sustaining society committed to the healing and recovery of our world. She uses the word stories, but these are not fictional. All three stories are happening. The question, where will we devote our energy? Where will we focus? We could commit to business as usual and spend enormous amounts of energy ignoring what's happening in the world around us, like ignoring an elephant in a room. We've heard that cliche. It takes a lot of work to ignore an elephant in a room. It's exhausting. Or we can immerse ourselves in the story of the great unraveling, let ourselves be pulled in by bad and sensationalist news, reading article after article, letting anger or fear or both become our guiding forces. Or we can commit to the great turning. Let me describe it again. The great turning is the transition from an industrial society committed to economic growth to a life-sustaining society committed to the healing and recovery of our world. Macy describes this shift we are in as similar to the Industrial Revolution in the breadth of the change we are undergoing. Just reading the idea of a shift from industrial society to life-sustaining society soothes my uneasy spirit. Everything we're going through seems a little more manageable if we can look ahead and imagine what we might be birthing. And I can see this life-sustaining society coming. In this time when the world seems to be so broken and shifting, changing so rapidly, I hardly feel like I know what's happening sometimes. I think, yes, this is transition. This is exactly what transition feels like: uncomfortable, bumpy, confusing, disorienting, moments of deep despair, followed by moments of great hope. Valerie Kaur asks, what if this is our nation's great transition? What if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? Transitioning, birthing, a life-sustaining society committed to the healing and recovery of our world. Birth is painful. There's a reason it's called labor. But I've been there at the moment of birth, as many of you as you have too, and it is beautiful. And it's messy, and it's a miracle. As you commit yourself to what Macy calls the great turning, you can begin to understand how we participate. What is our role in bringing about and giving birth to this new society? As Macy describes it, some of our actions may be holding actions. These are the things we do to hold back or slow down the damage being caused by business as usual. It might feel like a lot of our actions these days are holding actions. Protecting natural habitat, protesting destructive business practices, fighting to preserve civil liberties, working to minimize environmental damage. She writes, "The goal is to protect what is left of our natural life support systems, rescuing what we can of our biodiversity, clean air and water, forests and topsoil. Holding actions defend our shared existence and the integrity of life on this, our planet home." Other actions are what she calls life-sustaining systems and practices, when previously accepted approaches are being questioned and transformed. I see a lot of this when I look. We are living in a time of great experimentation. Like a CEO cutting his own salary to raise the pay of his employees. That's a life-sustaining system and practice. It's heartening. We're seeing more use of solar power, fair trade initiatives, attention to issues of economic justice, sustainable farming practices, ethical financial systems. But the most important action we can take, according to Macy, is to shift our consciousness, to understand ourselves as part of what we Unitarian Universalists call the interdependent web of all existence. This shift of consciousness is necessary so that the changes we are making in the world around us are deeply rooted in values that are sustainable. When we understand ourselves as interdependent, for example, it doesn't matter if we are making a living wage when we have brothers and sisters in the world who are not. And so we see that any injustice, or injustice for some, is injustice for all of us. We all have to fight for these changes. These three kinds of actions, holding actions, life-sustaining systems and practices, and a shift in consciousness, these three kinds of actions happen simultaneously and are mutually reinforcing. We need all of these actions to effect change. And as we face this mess we're in, we need to honor the pain we feel. And we need to grieve. Macy tells us that all our feelings, outrage, alarm, grief, guilt, dread, despair, all these are normal, healthy responses to a world in trauma. Of course we're afraid. Of course we're angry. So as we embark on our spirit study topic this year, I hope you'll be interested in reading along with the book. There'll be a series of sermons. There's a Facebook group, if you're on Facebook, for sharing stories and thoughts and reflections together. May we commit ourselves to the great turning, the move to sustain life, the awareness of our interdependence, and the willingness to see what is. May it be so. Blessed be. I invite you to rise in body or spirit to join in singing.